Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode 601 of the Overseas Connection podcast. This is Podcast Unplugged. It's the 18th of October from 2020. I am your host, Robin Tate. I'm in Ballymena in Northern Ireland. Every week we go out on twitch.tv/OC podcast live and on YouTube and pretty much everywhere else there is live stuff going on at 9 o'clock in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast. 4 p.m. on the East Coast and 3 p.m. for Central Time. And today is Matthew Hale's birthday. Happy birthday, Matthew Hale. Hope you're having a great old time. And this is for you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Insert name here.
General was not recognized.
Okay, here's the truth. The truth of the matter is things went very wrong tonight for the first 12 and a half minutes. And it's all Mark Wright's fault. My first sound desk, as you know, I have had troubles over the last week or two. My sound desk has died completely and we've identified it as that. So it first of all started off with no sound effects and now no microphone. So I am recording this after the fact and I will be adding the sound effects as we go along. You didn't miss much. You missed plenty. But I'm sorry. I'm not repeating that magic again. That will be held in the vaults of podcast past. It'll be a mystery for you to unravel and talk about for years to come. Anyway, on the show tonight, I have Greg DeLacy. He is in Reno babysitting a pussy. Okay. And Kim, she's doing her thing. And she's back. And it's great to have her. And we were talking about the lockdown and the China virus, and that's where we'll pick up the podcast. So enjoy the show for what it is, and we will see you next week with a new sound desk. Ooh.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Yeah, so we're in this circuit breaker lockdown. The kids are off school. Poor old Judith will have to look after the kids. It wasn't so bad earlier on in the year when the weather was so good. They could be kicked outside, but as the weather, again, nice right. This weekend, but the weather's about to turn again. So that's difficult, especially with Glenn, you know, and a toddler. And
right.
You know, it's hard work. So, that's where I am. What I've been watching, some of the other stuff, but I've been watching Away is a spacey thing about the first trip to Mars. And it has what do you call her in the boxer? She was the boxer person.
Oh, Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank, and she's quite good. Now, it's not a big sci-fi thing. Yes, they're in a rocket right. And they're going to space, and there's some spacey problems like the water ain't working. And the solar panels aren't going, so we need the spacey walk. But it's not really about spacey men and spacey women.
It's a little grounded.
It's drama. So it's about the relationships. There's, you know, there's a Chinese lesbian, of course. There is a Russian who's...
a Chinese lesbian, because that's... Yeah.
There's the Russian who's been a bad astronaut or cosmonaut, left all his family behind over space. There is the Jewish adopted immigrant black guy and then there's the Hindu.
Just tell me there's a Mexican Irish man.
There's a Hindu guy. They're all ticking all those boxes.
It's a big melting pot.
So it's about the relationships on the ship and the relationships back home. So Her husband is also part of the NASA crew who designed the rocket, worked on the team. And literally when they went to the moon base before they took off, he took a little stroke with their 15-year-old daughter at home and all the problems there. So it's, yeah, do you know, it's nice, as Dan says, it's a classic slow burn sci-fi. I'm enjoying it. It's nice. It's a nice thing with spaciness. I like spaciness.
Spaciness is good. Spaciness is good.
It's good fun. I'm going to report in on this.
I don't know what that is.
This is a Samsung
S20.
Note. No, it's the Note.
The Note. That's the Note. That's right. Yes, you have the Note.
So I'm begrudgingly going to say it's okay to good.
don't hurt yourself there, you know.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay to good. The camera fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. I had the drone on the beach yesterday and took some photographs as well, some video with it. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Annoyances, I don't think the on-screen unlock with the various fingers isn't as good as the iPhone. But yeah, I can touch. And it works, but not as good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the record, when you're doing that, just so you know, you're not supposed to do it like this. You're just supposed to.
I know. I was doing the extra thumbing was for effect, DeLacy.
Okay, Biden.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, but it is good. It's more like
I got that. Again.
It's more like I didn't. It's more like an iPhone iOS now than it was Android, even a year or so on.
Right.
And the apps have improved, even though I still, one of the things I said before is some of them aren't just as good, but it ain't far off it anymore. But yes, I'm very impressed. It's a very nice piece of hardware so far. I have ordered a cover from Mr. Unboxing Therapy Guy. He's Canadian. I'm sorry. But it's a custom, fully carbon fiber cover. So it's on its way from Canada at the moment. So that should be...
Yeah, so I don't know if you can see this. So this is the cover I put on my phone. It's actually pretty thin. It's just a... it's kind of a rubber... I mean, just a rubber material. But what I liked about it is it does have a little built-in kickstand at the end.
Ooh.
So I can flip that out and pop it out to where I can watch a video.
Which are not.
But also, it's far enough down that I could put it onto a wireless charger and not have it interfere.
Mm.
Because that's the one problem with almost all phone covers that have a kickstand is they interfere with your wireless charging, which annoys the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But this one doesn't. So just some food for thought.
Okay, well, this is ultra thin. I don't want anything too big. I had the leather one. I was hoping it was going to match this lovely Texan leather laptop cover that I had. But it didn't. It looked cheap and tacky. Not like this. Nice. Oh, you can smell the leather in that. Oh,
it's like I can't.
You can actually smell the cow.
Oh yeah, still. Listen. So I wanted something as good as that. Kim, I've got other stuff, but
Phil would not approve.
What have you been doing?
No, I've nothing. I mean, I've watched kids, I've played a little Xbox, and I went to sleep. That's pretty much all I've managed to get done this week. So
this is the exciting podcast.
Oh, you know. Yeah. And feed the farm animals. But I want to thank you guys because I fell asleep last weekend and didn't make the show because the God last couple
you had
days
a, you had a
last
hard
weekend
time.
Sucked. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, I appreciate that.
There's a cougar in my car. Okay. I was hoping that was going to arrive this week. I did order earlier on in the week when the Amazon sales were on. But this time next week, the man cave's getting an upgrade. I've been moving things around today. So this TV in the behind me is you can't see it in my little picture.
No, you can.
We can.
My 65-inch 4K Samsung is due to arrive tomorrow. So I've ordered
Now did you go with curved screen or screen?
Flat screen. And I'm gonna put it up on a big bracket as well. I've just ordered it. So it'll be on a stand for a few days, but I've ordered a nice big bracket because I don't want the kids to knock it out. It's too big. Just sit on a table, I think. So yeah, so that okay. should be cool. That should be nice. Can you imagine the cockpit sitting in front of it now? Now that would be immersive. With my cockpit.
Indeed.
So yeah. Uh-huh. So that should be fun. So I moved things around. I set up the little mini PlayStation behind me here and another TV and the mini Nintendo. And I had the N64 and the other old TV there. So everything's up and running now in here. So it's kind of cool. So, yeah. As far as work's concerned, absolutely flat out as well. But you know what? I have had such a wonderful week with my Wall Street stuff, my stock market stuff. It has been a fabulous, fabulous week.
Good.
Yeah, I had a really bad week the week before. I mean, really, like, big negatives.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cuts of $1,000 down the Swanee. But this
the bounce week, back week.
But this week we are more than double that, and it's been very, very good. And it's
good.
And it's not. It's through education and learning the intricacies of it, and it's sort of set me on fire a little bit. I've got a real passion for it, you know. So it's been very, very good. And the guys are asking me to do little videos and bits and pieces, and I have to. But it's time. It's been ridiculously busy with either just work stuff that. Or family life. It's just nutballs at the moment. So I'm sorry, but
I think our next meetup, instead of EGX, maybe it's gonna be Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what?
How great would that be?
Well, Greg, here's the plan. And it may not happen, but if I can continue on with the way I'm continuing, with a meager target, some days will be better than others, I assume, but if I can keep that meager target between now and Christmas time. Come end of January time, I'll be thinking about what I'm going to be doing. So,
okay.
You know, a man living in Mexico, northern Mexico, working the NASDAQ is some nice hours because
yes,
I can start at 10:30 in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, and be finished by 2:30, 3 o'clock. And, we'll see. Yeah, it's interesting. I still just find it very interesting. Anyway, anything else you just want to mention?
If there is, I'll think of it and we'll chime in later on.
We'll cut it in later on. Okay, well, let's talk about some games.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. we're in the middle way through the month.
Great.
This is going to be a quick podcast tonight. We don't need to go through this again, do we? Do you want to go through this again?
I don't think so. I don't know that we went through it last week.
Oh,
I could be wrong.
All right. Did we not?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't on, so probably not.
Oh, okay. That's right. You missed the big 600, of course. Oh, well. Well, let's,
I know.
Well, let's maybe just go through this in case people have missed this. Greg and I will do the sound effects in the background.
Oh, awesome. All right. For your Xbox One and 360 this month, we have Slay Away Camp Butcher's Cut, October 1st to the 31st, Maid of Skyr for October 16th through November 15th. If you wanted Sphinx, well, you're too fucking late. I don't know, you might be able to still pick it up. Sometimes you can go back and get them. Otherwise, it's Costume Quest, which is available now through the end of the month. Then for your PlayStation Plus games, we have Vampire and Need for Speed Payback. And then for your Twitch Prime games, we have Autonauts, Pumped BMX Pro, Effie, Tiny Troopers Joint Ops, and Outcast Second Contract. For your, Stadia Pro for the month, we have Dead by Daylight, Human Fall Flat, Super Hot, Mind Control Delete, Lara Croft, Temple of Osiris, Celeste, and Yotan. And I didn't update the Epic ones, so I'm not sure if those are probably not right. So.
Not very.
But I mean, y'all. Yeah, well.
Okay. I didn't.
That works. Hey,
I didn't play any games. I've been too busy.
Wow.
I apologize.
I'm potentially right there with you. So I did play a little Wasteland 3. It continues to be a little bit of a slow burn right now, just because I haven't been playing a lot. But I have been enjoying what I've been playing. They did have a big update that fixed, I think, a lot of the problems Phil was having with the game, in terms of just some of the jank and some of the save issues that he was experiencing. So Wasteland 3 continues to be one of my most enjoyable games this this year. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Brian Rain God Zippo from Scotland.
Yes.
Finished it this week. And
yes, I saw that.
Said it was absolutely brilliant. Good game.
Yeah. Brian, I'm looking forward to the finish. I think I've been grinding a little bit too much on side quests in the game. So one of the things it lets you know in terms of missions that you're, you know, kind of are on your to-do list, kind of what level you should be to get, you know, to tackle those. And it'll highlight them red if you're too low, that kind of thing. But I've been just dwelling on a bunch of side missions early on. Mm. So I think I'm kind of leveled up past where some of the main story missions would suggest I needed to be to take them on, which is fine. Just makes them a little bit easier to tackle. But I really am enjoying the game. So it is well worth the play. If you like turn-based strategy games, give it a shot for sure. Speaking of another turn-based strategy game, I had planned to play a bunch of Phoenix Point when I was up here, because that's one game I do have on my laptop. And I just have literally touched any games up here. It's been feeding the cat. It's been working out. It's been watching movies. And so, yeah. So that's pretty much me.
We're Kim, terrible.
I know. Kim, what about you? Anything gameplay-wise?
I've been playing a lot of Amalur. Actually, most of it was today. So,
right, yeah.
Because pretty much Sunday is the only time I get anymore. So yeah, I don't know. I put in a good 4 or 5 hours probably today. So yeah, I've got 36 hours overall. And you are now looking at the new Queen of the Fae. So there's
Queen
that.
Of the Fae.
Right. Their king was a big pussy, so. You know, it didn't take much, but
wow.
Well, you know, he was supposed to go fight the boss, and at the very, you know, spot where we're supposed to go and defeat her, he looks at me and goes, well, I'm a gigantic chicken shit, so you will have to do it without me, and he runs off. So I defeat her ass, and now I'm queen. So there all you right. go. Yeah.
Okay.
You're clean.
And obviously, way, I'm still liking it, so.
Yeah. I'm going to point out that I have noticed you still have not played Titanfall 2.
I will get to it, I promise.
I don't believe you, Kim. I don't believe you. Hey, side question and note. There was some discussion in one of our chats in WhatsApp around headphones. I believe you're wearing Liquid Sound headphones, if I'm not mistaken.
Lucid? Yes, Lucid,
Lucid
Sound.
Lucid Sound. I always say Liquid. I don't know why, but Lucid Sound.
But yes, I am. So.
So if anybody is curious, these are completely wireless, very
they're
fashionable.
Nice.
Yes,
and they excellent. Get along well with a Xbox adapter for your laptop. So those are nice, which was good because I think the little wire connection thing went bad in mine, but whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think you have the LS35Xs?
I do.
Okay.
I do indeed.
So they've just come out with a newer version, but I mean, it's like $300, so... But it'll connect to everything wirelessly. So there's that.
Well, yeah, I'll wait for it, you know, a couple of years when they get really cheap and I can afford them. Yeah, because these were 100 and what were they? 160, I think, or something like that. Because they were on sale. Yep.
Yeah. So, but then I noticed they bumped up to like almost $200 over the summer because of COVID-19 makes everything more expensive. Apparently.
Of course. So yeah, I like them. And I mean, I've wore some before that you couldn't stand to wear for more than 20 minutes because they hurt your ears or like the top of your head. They rub the top of your head and that hurts. But so far, these have been getting along pretty well. So,
yeah. Yeah, I typically don't like people rubbing the top of my head. It feels weird.
I'll bet.
All right. I think I guess that kind of covers everything, Robin.
Yeah.
What should we do next, Robin?
help me pick a new mixing desk. I'm going to get a bigger one. Gonna get any of those the Behringer Q1202, not the 802. So I'm just gonna about to order that. Oh fuck!
It's all right. Upgrade in process.
Temporarily.
Upgrade not in process. Yeah. So for those wondering what's going on, Robin's mixing deck just crapped out on him. It was causing all kinds of hiss feedback. We were noticing it, and we were trying to isolate what the problem was. We eventually were able to isolate it earlier, but of course it happened right before the show. So Robin is on his Logitech microphone,
yeah.
I believe.
The webcam camera.
Yeah, mm-hmm. backup camera microphone seems to work just fine.
There you go.
Anyway, right, where are we? Yes, the quiz was great fun over the last couple of weeks. Kim.
Yes.
Yes.
You, I don't know if you listened to last week's show or not, but one of the questions was who we were going to marry or all this sort of stuff.
And, oh, God.
Yeah. You had won the competition about the pants that we're going to wear. That was good fun.
That was
a good bit of silliness. Thanks, everybody, again, for all of the emails and stuff that we had last week. That was lovely for the 600th show.
Kim, you obviously have not listened to that part of the show.
No, I have not.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to now. Apparently.
So, moving on.
Oh, boy.
Here is the fucking news.
We do have some news. So I'm going to kind of try and go from the more less recent to the more recent, if you will. Sony finally showed off the PS5 interface. That was actually kind of a big deal. A lot of things happened with this. I personally think it was impressive. They've got some cool new features. They've got some features that, to be being honest, were overdue for the PlayStation 5, such as like voice to text for texting. You can take 4K screenshots now, but you know that's all fine and dandy. But that's part of it. But the tile interfaces. And the way you navigate in the PlayStation UI definitely is different.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things was the picture-in-picture video, which doesn't sound revolutionary on the surface, but it's actually quite intuitive the way they're doing it, or at least it seems intuitive, in that if you are, say, let's say you're in a chat, a party chat with a bunch of other people, you can literally share your screen with them so they can have it picture in picture on their screen so they can see what you're doing. So maybe you want to share a moment. You're like, check this out. You can shoot that over. So while you're playing your game, Robin, you'll have that video pop up in the corner as opposed to having to have it take over your entire screen.
It's the thing that never realized I never wanted.
I think it'll be a little more useful than we're probably going to give it credit for on the surface.
Why?
I think it's going to be in particularly useful for achievement hunting or trophy hunting.
Yeah, okay.
Because they are using that as part of it also. So you remember how in Stadia they were talking about there was different ways in which you could look up, you know, kind of walkthrough guides.
Yeah, so the cards.
In game. Right. And so this actually has that built in. And what's kind of cool is, at least on the surface, what it appears how it's going to work for some games. They have said the games have to be with this function built in, but as you're playing through the game, it will track your achievements, and on certain games you'll be able to literally look at that achievement list, and let's say you're 10 minutes close to an achievement for collecting bugs. You could click on that, and basically there's two different things that can happen. One, you can see a video on how to do it, but also some games are going to allow you to basically kind of jump into that point in the game, if you will, kind of backtrack or go to that point to get that achievement. I don't know how that's all going to work and if it's going to truly work the way they're talking about it, but it's pretty cool, intuitive stuff if it really does work the way they're promising.
I remember, on the PlayStation 4, there was the promise, and it actually did happen, where people could jump in and take over and play your game for you if you were getting stuck at a certain point. But again, nice to have. I like the idea of the achievement hunting. That makes sense to me now. But watching your mate playing something else while you're playing another thing, achievement hunting.
I think that's going to be a limited case, like, you know, need. But there are times when we're all in different, different games, but we're in a party together, especially like something like Extra Life, right?
Yeah.
And that could be a situation of you could share the video of what you're doing with your mates while they're doing other stuff. Look, it's not going to be something you're going to use all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not game changing, but the achievement side of it, the trophy hunting side of it, I kind of think that could be. Who knows? Maybe that will bring trophy hunting and achievement hunting kind of back to the forefront, especially on the PlayStation platform, where I think over the past couple of years, it's kind of died off. I don't think as many people are excited about achievement hunting.
It got diluted. It's hidden now. Like the little avatars, they never managed to bring the fun of that back. And maybe just gaming is a bit more mature now. It's,
I think this helps bring it back a little bit in that it's not going to be as hidden. It'll be a little more accessible too. Because, it was nice to always get a list of the achievements you were hunting and know how close you were to them. But to now also potentially have the feature to be able to say, well, I could just jump in to this point for this achievement and try and get it. That makes it more accessible. It might cheapen the achievements a little bit.
Apart from the video, the Xbox and the system now does a lot of this. So if you're looking at your achievements, you can pull up the ones that are closest, so you can have it appearing on the screen. So there's a closest thing.
Right.
And you can click on that and you can go and get help for this, and it will take you straight to true achievements, where video isn't solutions. So it's there apart from the actual video bit as well at the moment.
Right. I think it's just the way PlayStation is doing it is they're taking some of the steps out of that. So it's not, you're not going to have to go to true achievements to then go watch the video. Instead here, it's just going to pop open the how-to video immediately.
I wonder how at least in theory. I wonder who's going to provide all that content.
That is a good question. And that is, I think, the wait and see kind of question too, because if you think about it, what they're promising really is this cavalcade, this big mass content library of walkthrough videos. How they're going to curate that, how they're going to make sure that that's all available, that seems like a pretty big undertaking. So we'll see. We'll see how that all works out. But the bones of it are there. Microsoft is extending the Elite Controller warranty. And this is amid a class action lawsuit. Basically, Microsoft has extended the warranty for its current Elite controller, Elite wireless controller. And it says current, so I don't know if that's the Elite 2 or if it's the original Elite. I'm assuming it's for the Elite 2. From 90 days after purchase, the full year warranty of mechanical issues, you'll get a refund before October 31st, 2020. If you had to pay for any out-of-warranty fixes. The company's claiming the problem only affects a small percentage, but basically this is the stick drift issue. They continue to have some issues around stick drift, much like Nintendo also is having, although I think Nintendo kind of settled their big lawsuit, but it's there. So,
funny, I never mentioned it, but or maybe I did. My drone, my Mavic Pro, the controller part of it had broken, not bust, but the USB-C connection it's square. It's not, the USB-C has a little angle to it, so you know which way it goes.
Well, that USB-C does not have has it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but on the controller, it's completely rectangular. So, So what happens is if you try and push it in the wrong way, the innards of it go inside and then it can't charge. That's what happened to mine. So I sent it away to the repair place, which happened to be in Amsterdam. And they sent me back a repair estimate, and it was 50 odd quid to get it repaired, but about 50 quid of transit there and back.
Wow.
And it arrived back this week, and they just sent me a new one. They just sent a new one. They didn't repair it, which I thought, that's pretty good. That's good service, DJI.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is definitely good service.
That's a bad design. But no, I don't have any issues. I have the Elite 2 here. I don't have any Elite. Maybe I'm just not using it enough. That could be the problem. I think it's a great piece.
Yeah, that might be the problem.
Yeah, that could be it too.
Let's see, Cyberpunk 2077 will hit Stadia the same day as consoles and PC. So I think there was some questions around whether it would be day one or not. It will be day one on Stadia. Don't do it, Robin. next-gen consoles will get their 60 frame per second Destiny 2 on December 8th. So that's when the big update will happen. It will also update the field of view slider for the title as well. That's some interesting little tidbits here. Gamefly's rental business now belongs to a media wholesaler, which is pretty interesting. Alliance Entertainment says it plans to improve the service of Gamefly. How they're going to improve that service, I don't know. It's physical media has been pretty much on the decline for a while, so I don't quite get how they're going to improve that other than just offering up digital stores, maybe. I don't know. Let's see. Moving on, there was one I wanted to... PlayStation Store will stop selling PS3 and PS Vita games on mobile and web. Supposedly, they're also killing wish lists.
Yep.
Which I don't quite get why they would kill wish lists. Unless it's wish lists for the PS3 and PS Vita games. No. The new store, the PS Store interface on the web will roll out October 21st through the 26th. Once you get it, you'll no longer be able to purchase PS3, PS Vita, and PSP games or add-ons. You also won't be able to purchase apps themselves and avatars on mobile and web anymore, even for the PS4. In addition, Sony is killing the PS Store's wish list feature. You can no longer heart a title to add them to a list that you can monitor for prices, and the games you previously saved will be removed. Sony assures it's in its email, though, that you won't be losing access to any games and digital content you've purchased in the past. So that's an interesting move. Hmm. And part of me thinks that is just a straight-up move of saying, we don't want you to be able to favorite this game and watch it for when it goes on sale because we just want you to buy it.
I was watching the a few minutes of the interface, and it does look very, very nice. But one thing worried me. When they mentioned that there will no longer be a completely standalone store, it will be integrated with the menu now, which sounds awful. It sounds like every few minutes or every few clicks or scrolls, you're going to be offered up something to buy. Oh, you're playing this? Try this.
Well, I think the way it looked to me is that they're integrating the store within the actual game card. So if you think about it on your dash, you have, say, a card for Last of Us 2, a card for Ghost of Tsushima, and a card for Sackboy Adventures. And when you click on Sackboy Adventures, it will, in a sense, kind of open up, like below it, a number of different things of purchasing add-ons, that kind of thing, or playing the game. You know, it'll give you those options, but it'll kind of expand out down. That's the way it looked to me.
Dan, I think
I don't get terribly bothered by that stuff.
No, Dan, I think it would be hard to tell. So,
The hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, so well, I suppose the beasts are coming out this year. There was vicious rumors, and they're probably nasty rumors, that the PS5 was having some temperature issues.
Well, there was the PS5 was having it, then there was the Xbox Series X was having heat issues. So far, everything seems to have been debunked, so I think we can game in confidence. We are, by the way, less than a month away from that launch, so that's pretty exciting. Yep. Well, at least in the U.S. On the U.K. side, you guys still are like 31 days out, if I'm not mistaken, for the PlayStation 5, but we are all less than a month away from Series X. Microsoft and GameStop inked a deal that would give the latter a portion of the tech giant's digital sales revenue for every next-gen Xbox the gaming retail chain sells. So this was kind of interesting because we knew Xbox made a deal with GameStop to sell Xboxes, and we were kind of like, well, how is that going to work? Now we know. They're getting a revenue share And that obviously is going to give GameStop a bit of second life. And in turn, GameStop is agreeing to kind of move forward their Xbox kind of section. So it'll kind of come forward in the store. As in the past, it was, I think, towards the back. So they had the PlayStation stuff farther forward, as well as the Nintendo stuff. So they'll have more focus for the Xbox in the front of the store. And obviously, this gives GameStop a reason to want to sell consoles. In the past, they didn't really get a big revenue share from the consoles. And even more so, less on the digital front. I don't know if this extends into any kind of digital stuff. So that actually is a question. I don't see it in here. Here we go. So an analyst confirmed, adding that GameStop will get a percentage of revenue from every full game and DLC download, every microtransaction, and every subscription made through an Xbox Series X or Series S that has been sold through their stores. So it's a pretty deep tracking system if you think about it. They're selling the Series X or the Series S. They're then tracking that console, and they are, in a sense, tagging any digital content purchased through that console. And that revenue comes, GameStop gets a share of that revenue coming off that console. So it's even bigger than just getting revenue share off the actual console.
Well, looking at GameStop there, and just looking at the chart here, as far as the value of the company is concerned, back in 2013, it was at its highest point, and a share in GameStop was worth $39.27. And it got down as low as $3.97 back in 2019. Now, since this was announced, it's jumped back up to 13. It's now on its way back up again.
This was a big deal for GameStop. Yeah.
So it's like
it really is
$13, just over $13.3. So it's still way back from that 40, but the general sentiment is that it's the value of the company is still going to keep climbing now again. So.
Yeah. Well, you think about it, this is really a game-changing deal for GameStop. Mm-hmm. It keeps them relevant in the digital era.
Yep.
If GameStop can possibly get a similar deal with either PlayStation and Sony or maybe Nintendo, that will really kind of cement them into staying relevant.
Yeah.
Because that was always, everybody was saying, why do we even need GameStop? We buy digital now. There's no need to go into the stores. But we know that the console makers need store shelves to sell the consoles.
Yep.
So this is, I think, that happy medium of saying, hey, give us space on your store shelf. And then you know what? For every console you sell, whatever gets sold through that console, we're going to give you a small little percentage to make it worth your while. It's a smart move.
It's
especially a smart move for GameStop.
Probably the only move they had, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's face it, this potentially paves the way for a lot of other retailers. This is a roadmap to say, here's how we can be relevant at our brick and mortar retail locations. I think this deal actually is, I'm really starting to think about it, is a much bigger deal than we really think it is.
Absolutely.
Let's see, Marvel Avengers Next Gen console update won't arrive until 2021. I don't know that anybody cares about this. This is a game I was really hopeful.
Yeah.
And then they started doing their shenanigans with their exclusive DLC, and then I started hearing that there was a lot of problems with the games and they were super buggy. I know they've been working hard at making Marvel Avengers better with a lot of updates. But the upgrade, which is free for those who bought the game on current gen, unfortunately won't hit until after the holiday season. So that's pretty
crap.
Yeah. Disappointing. But what are you gonna do? All right, and last story to talk about. this one kind of blew up, and I don't know why it blew up, to be honest. So Sony, and I think it's actually, the reason why it blew up is the communication of this story was poor. And that is, Sony made a comment about, or there was a an article that talked about Sony recording chat of PlayStation 5 users. And everybody freaked out. Sony was recording their voices. And then they're like, you know, they're recording every conversation you have. Well, you know, ultimately, this is Sony, you know, they're trying to clear up this and help people understand. It's basically you're being able to record up to a 40-second recorded clip of basically harassment. You know, let's say you're in a chat and somebody's being an a-hole. Okay. You can, in a sense, report them and submit a 40-second clip of them being an a-hole to Sony so Sony can take action against them. So I don't think it's nearly as, you know, Big Brother's watching as we think, because it is going to be user reported submissions. It's not just them actively going in and throwing a band hammer at you. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, much to do about nothing. And maybe because we've had these kinds of systems in other services and other systems for quite some time. I think self-reporting, community source reporting is an important aspect to online gaming right now. It helps kind of clear up some of the toxicity. So I don't know. I'm not too fussed about it, but I mean, everybody freaked out at first because mm-hmm. they thought they were just actively monitoring and listening to every conversation. That's not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine sitting having to listen through all of those. I'm sure it would be a computer analyzing crap, you know.
You have to think, if it truly was monitoring everything, it's going to have keywords that it's going after and flagging it, and then hopefully you're having some human actually listen to it in context, because that's the other problem we have, is a lot of stuff gets taken out of context because something gets flagged, and then, you know, there's no actual context put into it, because a lot of stuff can be very innocent and not as toxic as it might sound on the surface.
So what is
it? Yeah, so that's...
What's that? What's Scott Stubby saying here? If game stores are a cut of digital games profits, does that mean there are going to be less consoles available to them? Just wondering if this is why they sold out so quick for pre-orders. I just don't think there's the volume.
Yeah, no, so I think that actually is kind of the opposite, Scott Stubby. So if anything, one of the things that was happening, if you think about it, from a digital standpoint, there was no incentive for GameStop to truly want to sell consoles, especially digital-only consoles. So the digital-only PlayStation 5, the Series S, Xbox, both those consoles, there's no reason or rhyme Sony would want to sell those, because they make zero money off of them. Outside of that initial little chunk that they make on that upfront sale, they're cut out of the whole picture because they're digital-only boxes. So what's happening with this deal for GameStop, and I think moving forward, maybe I'm going to take a pause, because I think, as truthfully, he's partially right, I think. So the deal here is going to alleviate that problem. With Microsoft getting in with GameStop and saying, look, you sell our console, you'll get a small portion of anything sold through it, makes that relevant and gives GameStop a reason to want to sell that console. I think 100% we saw a push by the retailers to push disc-based versions, the bigger disc-based version games, or console, excuse me, on the pre-order day. But I think that's kind of twofold. I think part of it is, yes, these brick and mortar stores weren't really interested in selling the discless versions. But I also think, one, there weren't a lot of those discless versions actually out to be bought.
Yeah.
And that was a move by Sony and a move by Microsoft as well. Both those consoles, I think, in some respects, at least on that pre-order launch, you know, that pre-order opening day, were there to be a talking point. We have a $299 console. We have a $399 console. Those sound super cheap. You get excited. And then you go to try and find it. You can't. You end up buying the more expensive one because you have to have one day one. That's at least what I think what they were counting on. And this is, you know, this is all part of their holiday messaging. They can come out and put out a commercial saying they've got a cheap console coming out. It's brand new. It's new and shiny. But I think they did limit quantities. I think they limited how much they manufactured because they're, I mean, Sony's taking a huge hit on the PlayStation 5 discless version. So I don't think they really want to sell a lot of those right now. Eventually they do. Once they start kind of making their money back on the hardware, I'm sure they'll try and flood the market with digital only consoles because ultimately they make more money on those. But for now, the upfront, they want to make their money back, get the console in the black instead of in the red. Same thing with Microsoft. So I think it's part, but the GameStop deal does alleviate that problem. And it really does change the dynamic for retail stores. And that's why I'm really wondering if we start to see Amazon, we start to see Walmart, you know, take your pick of retailers, you know, Tesco, you know, they can all enter into deals like this with a Microsoft to push those digital consoles, to push the floor space. And Sony could very well do the same thing. I just don't know if they have the tracking side of it created, but I mean, this keeps brick and mortar relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. They need to. Very good. That's not bad. Okay.
Yep.
It's going to be a short show this week, so let's keep moving.
And Kim, by the way, is absolutely correct. Real quickly, there was a question if it was just the digital-only ones. No, they're getting a cut of all Xbox consoles sold in store. So whether it has a disc or discless, that's the GameStop deal is for just consoles sold. They track the console and the content sold on it. So, no.
Okay, so Kim, would you take us through the new releases for the forthcoming week, please?
Sure thing. Your new releases for October 18th through October 24th are Amnesia Rebirth for the PlayStation 4 and PC on October 20th, The Guides for PC on Xbox 20th, Scourgebringer for the Xbox One, Switch, and PC October 21st, Disc Room for the Switch and PC October 22nd, Pokemon Sword and Shield The Crown Tundra for Switch on October 22nd, The Red Lantern for Xbox One, Switch, and PC on October 22nd as well. Jetboard Joust for the PC. I don't even want to. On October 23rd. And then Transformers Battlegrounds for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 23rd. And those are your new releases.
There you go.
I mean, Jetboard Joust, it just sounds in my head like terrible. It's just Joust. No, it's just Joust instead of having the stupid ostrich flying thing underneath you. You're a board.
Leprechaun on a skateboard with a box of Lucky Charms.
That would be awesome, actually.
Yeah, well, do you know what? That bastard Mark Wright sent me that video this week thinking it was very, very funny. It really was. It was a dwarf on a skateboard making a selfie video with a bag of box of Lucky Charms. And he bumps into somebody, gets knocked off the skateboard, and they get accused of littering. Anyway, very good. Okay, victory achieved has been an epic battle this week between several people. Unbelievable. Victory achieved is this competition, a draw that you finish your game, you get entered into a draw for doing that. You take a selfie of yourself, of course, self-explanatory to the selfie. With the credits in the background, and you tweet that off to @OC_podcast with a hashtag on victory achieved. So this week, Infected Psych, and Hardly Dan have been at it like mad. It's unbelievable. I'm just going to go through it here. Infected Psych, Firewatch, Carrion. He also finished off Gorgoa. He finished a game called Minute, Wander Song, that silly little thing, Subnautica, The Wonderful, The Gardens in Between, and Swims with the Fishes in Abzu. Hardly Dan finished Tacoma. Okay, Late Shift, enjoyed that. He finished Combat Wings Battle of Britain. He finished Black of the Fall. Grow Home, one of Richard's favorite little games. Favorite. He finished Jamestown and Hard Set Redux. So those guys are just unbelievable. What's the crack, boys? John Mouse, he had a go at The Last of Us Left Behind, which is very like Greg's Left Behind. Dave 3-O-Matic, Bulletstorm, Full Clip Edition.
Nice.
Yeah, he kicks some dick. Yeah, that was very, very good. And Brian, Rain God Zippo, as we mentioned before, he finished Wasteland 3. So absolutely well done. That just, I think there's a challenge going on at the moment. 10,000 gamer score challenge or something that I'm working towards. So that's just crazy.
Ah, okay.
So now what we do is we play the sound of Greg's Left Behind. Well play, well playing Left Behind. Do you want to do it live?
I could, yeah. Let's do it live. Let's
do it
live. You have won a victory's achieved. You have won a victory's achieved.
Do you know what? You Holy sound shit. Just like that recording we have. Wow.
I know. It's crazy.
Anyway, thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection Unplugged. It's been a wonderful show. Please
send Fireside us, Unplugged chat.
Send us an email to podcast@ocpod.com or tweet us at @OC_podcast. See us on Facebook and YouTube and everywhere else we are. And we'll be back next week. So, let's go home, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say hello to people that are in the chat and tell them to bugger off?
Oh, sure. We've had Hardly Dan and Scott Stubby have been in the chat. And we have Aiton, Commander Roots, or Commander Root, Lurks, SCOM TTV, and Let's Do This Streamers on the user list. So they weren't in the chat, but I guess they're hiding. And so
getting a restream as well. Who knows?
Probably. Huh. Yep. So good. Anyway, shout out to Hardly Dan and Scott Stubby. They were
Thank
here.
You.
So.
Greggles? Or you, yeah. I'll say hello to people. Mark, bollocks, stuff you. You recommended this mixer. It's all your fault. Mark's fault 1 is now going in the bin. Mark's fault 2 is now on its way to me. So it's all your fault, Mark. Absolutely. Was it less than 2 years old and it's just tanked? Anyway.
Terrible.
It is, yeah.
Probably made it's in China.
Probably made in China.
Probably made in China.
Yeah, so, you know, when you're at your parents' house, it's interesting the stuff you find. So I'm sitting at the computer desk.
No.
It's not that interesting. But I'm sitting at the desk and I look over and I don't know if you can see this, a law dictionary. I'm like, that's just an odd thing to have just sitting on your desk. Right? Since my dad is not a lawyer. He pretends to be a lawyer. Maybe he slept at a Holiday Inn recently, so there's that. But no, definitely not a lawyer.
Is it hollow? Is there something anyway. Hidden? Is there something hidden inside it?
No, I did check. I did check that. I thumbed through it. Nothing hidden. Yeah.
Well,
my parents are funny birds, man. A big shout out to my parents. They love going on these adventures. A trip that they flew out into Seattle, Washington. It was supposed to take them about an hour to get to my aunt's house. That turned into a 7-hour side trip. That I'm not quite sure why it took 7 hours, other than they got a little lost. Then they decided to sightsee a little bit more lost, and eventually found their way. But God bless them. Yeah.
Excellent.
And my mom still, you know, she's like, make sure you put the chain up on the door. So my mom has this thing. My mom, she's one of those paranoid people. And, you know, the front door of their condo, it has a typical deadbolt lock. But they also have that old school little chain that literally stops nobody.
Nope.
But my mom absolutely thinks this thing is like made of krypton, you know, like steel well beyond its you know, strength. It's just funny. And so, yeah. She still looks at me as her baby boy.
Embrace
them and love them.
Embrace them and love them while they're here. Very, very good. Okay, well, you have a safe journey down home again, Greg.
I will do so. Thank you.
Wonderful. Kim, you be nice. And we will catch everybody I'll next try. Week again. Sorry for the quieter show. Let's hope that when I press stop, here the first 10 minutes isn't me saying nothing. And
I'm pretty sure it is you. It is you saying nothing.
And if it is, well, that's usually the case. And if it is, I'm going to have to make it up as I go along again. So.
Yep. Robin anyway. Voiceovers for the win. Love it.
Right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be better and play games next week. So.
Right.
Thanks very much. See us. Goodbye. Good night. Cheerio.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.